From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Pollock, with its mild flavor, is a versatile fish. It can be made into surimi, fish sandwiches, and now high-protein noodles. The new product from Trident Seafoods won awards, but can the noodles win over the American public? Haines fishermen will soon be able to recycle their old waste nets. And Alaska salmon hatcheries once again provide for one-third of the statewide catch. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Pollock is a fish caught in huge numbers in the Bering Sea off Alaska's coast. But it's not exactly trendy or known as health food. You see pollock mostly in fish sticks and McDonald's fish sandwiches. Nat Hurst with Alaska's Energy Desk reports on a seafood company's latest push to make pollock the next big thing by turning it into gluten-free noodles.
It's lunchtime at the Anchorage home of Julia O'Malley, probably the city's highest profile food writer. O'Malley tries to eat gluten-free, so she's about to sample some new gluten-free noodles that I brought her for lunch. We're going to cook them into ramen.
Okay, I'm opening up the package here, and I'm just going to hold one. It feels... Oh, smells relatively neutral. And it's kind of elasticy. It definitely looks like a rice noodle.
O'Malley knows there's a secret Alaska ingredient in the noodles, but she doesn't know what it is. She's going to taste them and guess. That means we have to get the ramen components ready first.
We've got, scallions here and some bok choy. And I am about to boil an egg.
While we get that stuff going, I'm going to spill the beans. The secret ingredient is fish. The noodles come from Trident, one of the country's largest seafood companies. Trident is truly huge. It has thousands of employees, it's supplied fish for Starbucks sandwiches in China, and it catches hundreds of millions of pounds of pollock from the Bering Sea each year. Pollock isn't exactly a delicacy. Some people call it trash fish. It's caught in massive trawl nets and usually processed into low-value products like fish sticks and fried fish sandwiches. John Sally is Trident's Senior Vice President of Marketing and Innovation.
It's kind of lacked the romance. I don't know what a good parallel is. I mean, you know, it's been the, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon to the, you know, microbrew, for example, in the beer industry.
But in the past few years, the seafood industry has been looking for new ways to market pollock as something that's fresh and healthy and worth paying for. An official with another company describes it as making pollock sexy. Now Trident is introducing products for restaurants like Whole Pollock with the fish head still on, playing up the fact that this is a whole food. The noodles are part of that push. They're definitely more processed. A plant in Minnesota makes them from minced pollock meat called surimi, the same stuff that goes into fake crab. But the noodles only have 8 ingredients with 10 grams of protein in each serving. And by going into noodles, Trident is targeting a new group of consumers. Here's Sally again.
Consumers today are consuming protein in all kinds of plant-based foods, in pastas, in you know, alternative burgers, sausages. I mean, the whole category is really exploding for plant-based protein products. And why not with fish?
Trident is putting a big effort into marketing the noodles. You can buy them at some Costco stores in the lower 48. But not in Alaska yet. A Trident official had to bring them on a plane to Anchorage on an ice pack. Back in O'Malley's kitchen, the ramen is finally done. She ladles the hot broth on top of the noodles and then digs in.
The noodles are neutral, very neutral. Their texture is like a vegetable. They are filling, I would say that.
So, knowing that there is an Alaska product in here, if you had to guess, what are you going to guess the Alaska product is?
I think it's seaweed.
You think it's seaweed? Are you ready for me to tell you what it is? Are you sure? Kelp. Is that your final answer?
I think it's kelp.
It's pollock.
These are made out of fish? That's unusual. Taste them again. Mm-hmm.
O'Malley isn't convinced the noodles are quite right for ramen, but she says she thinks they could work in a stir fry or a Thai dish, like if you want a lower carb alternative to rice noodles. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Alaska's hatcheries play a big role in salmon fisheries. And, as Lainey Welch reports, the hatcheries also play a big role in increasing the volume of fish caught by Alaska's fishermen.
Salmon that get their start in Alaska hatcheries are maintaining a decade-long trend of comprising one-third of the statewide catch. In 2018, a hatchery harvest of 39 million salmon, mostly chums and pinks, was 34% of the total take, valued at $176 million, to Alaska fishermen. 41 million adult salmon returned to Alaska's 29 hatcheries last year. That's according to the 2018 Salmon Enhancement Report released last week by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Prince William Sound is Alaska's largest hatchery salmon producer, and last year's catch of 19 million fish accounted for 76% of the region's total catch and 75% of the value to fishermen at $65 million. Southeast is the second biggest hatchery salmon producer. Last year's catch of about 8 million fish was 46% of the region's harvest and 59% of the value to fishermen at $63 million. $53 million of that was from chums. At Kodiak, just under 4 million fish from two hatcheries made up 42% of the island's total catch last year. The fish were valued at $7 million, 25% of the salmon fishery's value. At Cook Inlet, a catch of just over 500,000 hatchery salmon accounted for 26% of the total harvest and 30% of the dockside value of $5.3 million. About 70% of those inlet fish were pinks.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska's commercial fishermen do a lot of hard work, and they expect their gear to work hard for them. Take the fishing net, or fishing lines. They're nearly indestructible and work well for Alaska's fishermen. The problem is, once they get old, they continue to be nearly indestructible. Now Haines fishermen will have a new way to dispose of their indestructible nets. They can recycle them. Haines Friends of Recycling partnered with the business Net Your Problem to offer net recycling in the Upper Lynn Canal. KHNS reporter Claire Strumpel has more.
You know, as they've got the knife running down the lines.
Nicole Baker is demonstrating how a net mender or fisherman might remove the lead line from a gill net before recycling it. It's pouring rain, and Baker is standing between neat squares of stacked, smashed aluminum and defunct washing machines. She's behind the Haines Friends of Recycling warehouse, up to her knees in sea-green tufts of used net. But those tufts won't be here for long. They're headed to British Columbia to be recycled. Baker used to be a fisheries observer, one of the scientists on fishing boats collecting info about catches. Through that work, she traveled to a few ports in Alaska, Kodiak, Dutch Harbor, Accutane.
I saw piles of fishing nets that were lying around that were obviously not being used. So I had an experience where a nonprofit group had produced a sneaker out of confiscated gill nets. So that was the light bulb moment for me where I just thought, wow, nets are recyclable, just like a water jug or a milk bottle or something.
Baker is working with Haines Friends of Recycling to change the way fishermen and communities think about disposing of used gill nets. In the past, fishermen have only had the option to take the nets to the dump or let them pile up in their yards. Baker founded Net Your Problem, a company that connects communities with systems to recycle used fishing nets. Molly Sturdivant is the vice chair of Haines Friends of Recycling. She says that there have been spotty efforts over the last 20 or 30 years to get net recycling to catch on, but there hasn't been anything consistent.
I think communities run into the logistics of shipping and making linkages between the fishermen, the waste managers, and the shippers, for example.
That's where Baker and Net Your Problem comes in. Nylon recyclers are rare, but Baker connected with SOP International, a British Columbian group that recycles the nylon part of carpet. They'll start accepting gill nets this year. She set up an agreement with Alaska Marine Lines to ship the nets from Southeast Alaska to Seattle, where they'll be trucked the rest of the way. There are successful net recycling programs in other coastal communities, but the infrastructure hasn't been present in Southeast until now.
We've never been able to come up with a plan that really seemed to engage the community and the fishermen and get them to bring their nets to us.
Haines Friends of Recycling unveiled the program at their Earth Day celebration. Norman Hughes is a commercial gill netter and marine supplier in Haines. He's tried gill net recycling pilot programs here in the past. He says a serious barrier to recycling the nets is all the work fishermen would have to do to get them ready to be recycled.
You know, they're just going to take the easiest path. If they don't have to strip it and they can just dump the whole thing, they might just do that. But to have someone take a knife and take 2 hours to strip a line off a net, off your nets, you know, that's going to be $50 to pay someone to do that. So everyone has a different value set.
He says there are 60 permits on the water, and he estimates that each has 2 to 4 nets. He cycles one of his nets out every year. That's significant net waste.
You know, we can do better, and I hope people do, and by leading by example, by doing this, and me being part of the problem as being a supplier of gill nets to fishermen, I could talk to them and encourage them to where to recycle in town.
It will cost $15 to drop off nets with Haines Friends of Recycling. Sturdivant says this is cheaper than tossing them out at the dump. Community Waste Solutions declined to share what they charge for gill nets with KHNS. But they did say the nets are processed as inert trash. Hughes estimated it would cost him $25 or $30 for a 100-pound net. In Haines, I'm Claire Strempel.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Nat Herz with the Alaska Energy Desk, Claire Strempel at KHNS in Haines, and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Spring is in the air in Alaska, and people will be near the water, on boats, on docks, with their dogs, with their little kids. Be sure to have a life jacket or other flotation device on or ready to go, just in case something happens. Remember, life jackets really do save lives. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.